and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh, and...
And I'm Will Alexander.
Yes, you are, William Alexander, you lucky dog.
I know. It's my mom says all the time.
That's exactly. Now, we've had a couple... We always say, please let us know what you think, and emails, and we've been getting them, and we really appreciate them. And there's two I want to start with. A lot of things we want to cover today. Westminster being one, and something we said last week about momentum. And they're thanks to great input from people who know what they're talking about that called in. On the first one, you and I, Will, were talking about Westminster, and I think we did a good job of explaining what's going on with the COVID testing vaccine. However, there was one serious error that I said. I said, you know, this is Westminster's deal. It's not something the state has mandated. And I'm wrong. I was absolutely wrong. It is something the state mandated. Now, Westminster hired a company to do it a certain way. So they have that influence. But the state requires any gathering of over 200 people must either be vaccinated or tested. And with those parameters. So I was wrong. The state did set that. Westminster hired the company that requires their testing and all that.
I'm glad you owned up to that, Wayne.
Well, that's the kind of guy I am, Will. And I hear even that is getting, even Westminster's even looking into the necessity, the original requirement of getting tested at those two hotels or in Brooklyn. I think that's being looked into. But either way, I was wrong. I don't want to mention names, embarrassing, but he's a person who officially deals with this every day in New York. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And I really appreciate him calling in to help us smooth that out.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. Will, anything? You have any calls or emails or anything?
Not really. No, but I Oh, yes. I did actually. I had a message from, we both did, from Danny Buchwald.
One of our favorites.
Yes, Daniel. And he just discussed about our talk last week about how certain dogs win consistently, and we need to look at them and see why they would win that much. Now, we generalized last week, but my story was that if a dog can't win that much without having some quality, and I still agree with that. There's got to be something there with the dog. Exactly. I'd have to go back to Danny's email or message. Do you remember exactly what it was?
Well, he had a real good point. He said that there are cases where that's not true. And when, you know, we were generalizing, but when you really think about it, this is a topic well worth discussing, Will.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
there are dogs who consistently lose to dogs who many people would think are inferior. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is the dog that's not as good a representative of the breed might be a better show dog. Right, now, that's unfortunate. Right. And I've written a whole article called Dog Show or Dog Show.
And it does. Heart comes into it a lot. Like I showed a dog years ago for a very famous kennel, and he was one of the best dogs I think I'd ever seen at that point of that breed. And he had no heart, and I could not get him off the ground.
Yeah. Well, the Forsythes, when I worked there, they had Charlemont Clansman and Sporting Fields Clansman and Boy. And that was his son. Laird was the English import, Charlemont Clansman, I think. Laird was just a great whippet, one of my favorite whippets of all time. And I think there's a lot of whippet breeders that would agree that he's in that top shelf of great whippets. He had no heart, hated the show, hated everything about it. Forsythe could do it any, you know, he's just amazing with whippets, and he got what he could out of him, but the dog just hated the show. His son wasn't as good, in my personal opinion, although he was very good, but he loved running around that ring. So, and he did a lot of winning because of it. So there's certainly circumstances where a dog has more heart or shows better, but there are also circumstances where a dog is wrong in some breeds where they may be the wrong type. And I can think of dogs. I can think of a dog that won Westminster that probably wouldn't finish today without a big, long battle because breed type has become more apparent, more relevant, and more widespread in that breed. So those things can change too. And you certainly, there's dogs that have done a lot of winning that we all go, boy, that was a great show dog. But, as far as being the greatest one that ever lived, not even close. And you'll see that because if it's a bitch, sometimes you'll be, oh, I can't wait till she has great puppies. And sometimes that doesn't work out, or they might have the heart she had, but not quite the edge in confirmation. So, there's lots of things, but I thought Danny brought up a really good point.
I understand the argument, and it's still a very subjective argument as far as I'm concerned, because that's the way our sport is. We talked about some dogs get a jump on things by certain endorsements and whatnot, and that makes it difficult sometimes for a dog not to win,
Right.
But I still maintain that a dog to win that much, there's got to be a quality there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're not a bum.
Right.
But they may be less or more of a show dog and less of a correct breed type than others.
Right. And like I said, we've seen a million of those, and they've stamped our history books, mm-hmm. and they've become dogs that we think back on. You think back even two generations ago, you think of these great dogs and you look at them now and think, oh, they may have an issue today, but they, in their day, they showed so well for their breed, and they brought attention to their breed by their showmanship and their carriage and even their ring presence. There are certain dogs that they may not be the best one in the world, but no one's told them that.
Right.
And those dogs are sometimes very hard to defeat.
There's a nuance here. My opinion would be coming from the viewpoint more of a breeder, Will's from more of a handler. So, and those are all important things to bring together. And that's why the opinions of diversity and judging where they came from, where you started in the sport becomes important in these discussions. But there are plenty of dogs that win because they're show dogs, and that's unfortunate. I think Dan had a real good point in bringing that up. You and I were talking about this recently. There's that, you had mentioned that you wanted to win the first day, right?
Yes.
So of a
3-day weekend, because that gives you that little head start. There's no question it does. Not all the time, because it depends who's doing it and who's there and who shows up the next day. And like I've gone best in show. I went best in show one day under Skip Stambridge. The very next day I went second in group because the other dog showed up.
Yeah.
Under Skip. Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah. Skip, yeah. And this is years ago, but I knew that in this particular breed, this bitch went best in show the night before. I judged the breed and I liked the dog better. So she went best in show one night and didn't win the breed and under me. And right or wrong, there's nothing that's this in the sport that says that can't happen because you're judging them on the day. And every judge comes at it from a different perspective. If that wasn't true, we'd only need one dog show a year because that decision would stand all year, right?
Well, exactly. But
we all have different opinions and different interpretations of the standard. And it's a lot better that the same dog doesn't win, well, usually, every single day for the rest of their life. But momentum plays a part in it. And I think that's unfortunate, but it's human nature.
It is human nature, and it's a way it's always been, too. Some dogs just get hot, and away they go, and you strike while they're on sight. I've had dogs where I wasn't prepared to show them for the year, but they come out, and they win a couple of best in shows, and the owner's like, well, what do we do?
I said,
strike while the iron's hot still, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, there's so much of that there's little worlds of it, like within a circuit or a weekend if a dog catches on early. And then you've got the human nature of there's going to be judges that talk all weekend. And I've had judges ask me, hey, what'd you do yesterday in Springers? And I don't think they were looking to do what I did. They just wanted to know. And they were, they were just trying to say, okay, we've got some decisions to make here. Wayne came at it this way. Ken came at it this way, whatever it might be. And they'll make their own. But I've also had judges ask me what I did the day before. that I thought might not be the most secure judges that did the same thing.
I have an interesting quote years ago from a very prominent handler, and I won't say their name just because, but they told me that every best in show win, not saying they're crooked, every best in show win, there is a human nature part of that best in show win. Mm-hmm. And it could be as little as, well, Wayne walking into there, I walking into the judge's room and saying, and Wayne saying, wait, do you see the beagle? You know, and then it doesn't mean I'm going to like it, but it's already implanted in my head that I might give it a second look because someone I respect said, wait, do you see the beagle? And it's not like you're pushing the dog out on anybody. It's just human nature to talk about things like that.
It is. And I can tell you that, and you'll find this, Will, because you're going to be a great judge very soon, right, young William? You're going to apply now. Anyway, when you do even an owner, handler, best in show, when you walk in that ring, if you're a pointer breeder and there's a pointer in there, you're going to probably, people would think, oh, he's going to go with the pointer because he likes it. Maybe you know so much about that breed that you're going to be far more critical of that breed. Yeah. And I can tell you that sometimes when it's close, maybe I don't want to put up the dog from my group. You know, if I can go to a toy dog or a terrier that's not a sporting dog or a hound, if it's a dead tie, I'm talking about a dead even tie, you might just say, gosh, I got to spread this around a little bit. I want to always point dogs in my own group. I don't think that's conscious necessarily, but I wonder how often it happens.
Well, it's funny because I have a story in my mind. Again, I won't say who they were. There was this one judge, and they were a whippet breeder, and I'm telling you, I went second to, I bet you, 10 different types of whippets under that whippet breeder.
Yeah.
He just loved his breed, and he would reward his breed. And when I would even ask him, he'd say, well, this one had fill in the front, and most of the breeds, this one had such really good ears, the breed never has them. So he was justifying it. And he finally did give me a group one on my beagle, but it took a long time and a million
was lame.
Later before I got to win a group.
It's great. But yeah, it's these are parts of human nature and judging that makes it certainly more subjective.
Oh, for sure.
Than people consider. And there are those subtleties. I can tell you, masks are the best thing that ever happened to dog shows because you can't tell who your friends are. You know, you don't have to think through that. I love judging in Europe because that's not in your mind.
Right.
Now you do consciously wipe it out of your mind, but there's no doubt that sometimes there's someone you really don't like very much and they come in your ring. And I know for me, those are the people I often do real well for because I intentionally say, okay, that does not matter. That does not matter. I'm judging the dogs.
It's funny. The human nature does take such a big part of our sport. I remember being in Best in Show one time with the Irish Setter dog, and I forget. I won't say who was judging again, although they've gone anyway. They've passed. But I lost Best in Show to an Airedale Terrier, and later on we were getting the picture. I guess I may have gone reserve. I don't remember. I don't think so. I think maybe I was still getting the group picture. But they told me why I lost Best in Show to the Airedale. She said when she walked down the line, the Airedale looked up at her and reminded her of her house dog.
Oh.
And her house dog was a poodle. But it looked up, she said it had the exact same eyes as her house dog.
That's great. Had little tight curls in its coat.
I don't think it had anything to do with the coat. She said it was the way it looked at me. It was the way it looked at me.
Boy, there's nothing I hate worse than that. And I remember, oh gosh, this is a long time ago. I'd written an article, and it might have been the first time Betty Ann did a group or best at the Garden. Had to be a group at the Garden. I had just written an article that came out right before the Garden, and it was kind of making jest of judges that say, you know, when they ask why they like the whatever, the judges that say they just asked for it. And I went on about that because that drives me crazy. No one asks for it. You're either the best damn dog in there or you're not.
Well, I've asked for it before.
Right. Yeah, well, you have, yes, but the dogs have not.
I need a new roof on my house. Please.
That's right. Give me okay. So at Sardi's the next day, those of us in that circle in New York would go to Sardi's for the, you know, if you're an AKC officer, you'd go to Sardi's because the Best in Show winner would have its steak tartare there. Is that what you had for pig?
Steak. We just had steak. Yeah. Well, I didn't. Miss B had steak.
Right. You had a hot dog. I remember.
I got to hold her and ravenous hold her back. You know.
You got a little. You got some kennel biscuit, the old stuff, the good stuff though. But anyway, so we go to that little party, and that's when the judges explain their decisions. And when it was Betty Ann's turn, she's just great, you know. And she got up and said, "Well, I read Mr. Kavanaugh's article, so there's no way I can say this dog asked for it." But it comes down to so many subtleties of the human brain, you know. It'd be there are times, and I can tell you this honestly, because I know every judge has done this. You get someone who you like in a certain breed personally, and you like their dogs, and they come in and you can't do better than nothing or maybe a fourth all day. And they finally bring you on. You're like, whew, I can finally give them something they deserve. Or maybe it's close and you give them a fourth. It really doesn't matter, even though they probably didn't deserve that fourth. That happens just because you feel sorry for them.
No, fourth is for friends, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you know, I beat a guy that I just adore. I love this guy, and his talent is incredible. Couldn't do much for him a couple weekends ago, and it broke my heart, you know. But he took it well because he knows. You just can't wait for that time that he brings the kind of dog that you like that you can celebrate. But good people don't. People who know their breed don't. I don't think they get as mad if they respect you.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
And we talked about that when we're talking about Paul Edwards suggesting that handlers should work for, you know, assistants should work for a breeder to learn the breed first. If they know the breed, they know that you know, and they don't deserve the win.
Well, for sure. You hear that often. And I think one of the handlers quoted you saying he hates when a good judge shows up and
and beats his gas dog. Yeah.
I used to have a friend of mine that we'd be in the ring he'd be in the ring with me showing whatever he had, and a different dog would beat us, and he'd turn to me and he'd say, I hate when a purebred shows up.
It's true. It's true. But really, there's probably a great, there's probably some master's or PhD student that's in psychology that could have a heyday interviewing a bunch of judges and seeing how their brain works and what goes through your head.
Well, for sure.
When you're in there. No, I do walk down the line and find something good about every dog. It's a habit that I've...
That's a good habit to have. You
know? Yeah, and I don't care how bad it is. I'll walk in there and go, nice toenails, whatever. You know, just get that one thought in my head. But on the other hand, the next thing I do, and it's, I don't know if it's good or bad, just makes things easier for me. I'll sit back at a class of 10 and I'll find my four. This is before they even move when they walk in. I'll find my four that I'm going to probably use. And those will, or if I have six, I got to find the two I'm not going to use.
Yeah.
So that's contrary to positive thinking. But, there are things, just little habits you whirl around in your head to make things more efficient. And they're not necessarily consistent, but they're there.
I watched a gentleman that I really have a lot of fondness for. He was judging a breed. I can say his name, Guy Jeffens. He was judging.
Oh, yeah.
And the breed wasn't very strong. There was like five or six dogs in there that you wouldn't consider, you know, top quality. You know, it was a hard breed to judge because it was the quality wasn't there. And I watched him judge and watched him, and I saw what he came up with. And I'm not sure in my head if I would have come up with that way, because there was a more finished dog in the ring, blah, blah, blah. But it was just more finished and better condition. And then when I asked him afterwards, he said it was a really hard class. He said, So I looked at it and I wasn't particularly fond of any of them. But I asked myself, if I was going to breed this breed, which of these six dogs would I start with?
Right.
And if you look at what he's done over the years, and he breeds two breeds very well. So he has that eye for breeding stock.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be evaluating breeding stock, not awarding the best showmanship, not even awarding the dog who nailed the free stack the best, which I, as you know, I'm not a fan of.
Theatrics.
In fact, I hate it, but unless I ask for it.
I like doing it if my dog really does it well.
Of course. Okay, let's bring out the German short hair pointer and the bulldog. Let's see them face off. I mean, the basset hound. Yeah. Let's bring out the basset hound and the whippet and see who can stand there and stare at food better, right?
I interviewed Brian the other day. Brian Martin, he talked about that. Oh, yeah. Bring the basset out and the stare at the ring. Let it just stand there. Have you seen a basset just stand there? It looked like a bag of sand, he said.
And if they cock their head, they look really ugly. They look so silly. Well,
they
right?
bring their ears up. He said they bring them on the side. They look like they're flying now with the ears inside their head.
I know. It's something that it's just an American habit that anybody new thinks is normal. And I can tell you it's not. can you imagine telling, Bob Forsyth or Johnny Murphy or Tom Gately, time to throw your put a spotlight in the middle of your ring. And by the way, let your dog run 20 feet in front of you before you take off with a leash. What the hell are you talking about? you want to evaluate his gait? Here's how you do that. You watch me walk down and back. That's how you do that. But yeah, different times. What else is new, Will?
What else is going on? I read an interesting thread on Facebook the other day, and a friend of ours that we've actually both talked to, his name is Dan. I think his handle is Pal Dan. Pal Dan, I think it is. And he had an interesting concept for a new dog show. And it reminded me of the days when we used to have the Show of Shows up here. The Show of Shows was whoever won a Bastion Show was invited to compete in the Show of Shows. And it was back then, it was six groups. And you could have like six golden retrievers in the sporting group because they all won Bastion Shows. His idea, though, was to have the number one dog in each breed. I don't know if it meant all breed or a breed system. But anyway, number one dog is invited to the show. And there's seven groups. And the number one, so you're invited, you start off, obviously, at group level. And then the judges are announced that day for the groups and Best in Show and like a black tie affair, make it all fancy. But that was, he got a lot of response on his thread for that. And I just thought it was an interesting concept. And it reminded me of when I was a kid watching the Show of Shows, and the Show of Shows was very exciting. And I'll tell you, when I was a youngster, my parents were breeding dogs. We were all gung ho to enter the Show of Shows. We wanted to win a Best in Show so our dog could compete in the Show of Shows.
Right.
And back then Purina, which is now Pro Plan, They sponsor it, and it was a huge deal in Canada. People flew from all over. Oh, yeah. And we had Jimmy came up. Jimmy won it 1 year with Manhattan. Ginny won it with her Newsflash English Cocker dog. Very famous dogs came in and they won that show.
Very cool. So are they all? It's so the number one dog in each breed. You start right at the group.
Yes, and Dan's. Theory, but even the Show of Shows, that's how we started too.
Right. You could also just take the number one dog in each group and go right into Best in Show. Actually, they have a couple shows that do just that. I think they're called the AKC Invitational in Westminster. Just kidding. Just kidding.
He's just kidding.
He's just kidding. But it was
don't send him to dogshowtips@gmail.com. Send them to Kavanaugh.
But, we used to, at the UKC, we had our hunting guys department. And every year we'd go in and say, hey, you guys want to make some money on the side? We can tell you who's going to win all the groups and maybe Best in Show at the Garden. And, that's impossible. No, I'm telling you, we just have that ESP thing going on. And we just give them the number one dog in each group. And you're going to get four of those. You're going to be right, at least, maybe seven. And they just thought we were geniuses. And they'd make these dollar bets with all these other guys that aren't dog show people. And they'd have big parties because they won every year. But those dogs that are number one are there. Why, Will?
Because there's something about them for them, there's making them number one. They're not by default. They're number one for a reason.
That's right. And really, those dogs at the Garden certainly do get beat. And
for sure.
We discover new dogs every year, which is cool. I'm glad the breeds are back because there's a chance that other dogs will. Now that there's more dogs in the breed than one or two. We had some big entries in the breeds last year.
Oh yeah, no, there's always been pretty big entries in the breeds. It's I'm happy that the class dogs came back because there was nothing.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I remember being at the Penta Bar one time and Mark Shanoff was still around. He won toy poodles from the classes. And when he came down to the bar, it was running late, so it was showing up on the screen. Yeah. And the group, and oh, there, so and so. Let's hope she finishes. Oh, it was all so exciting, right?
Yeah. Well, those were, you know, having the class dogs sometimes go all the way.
Oh yeah.
I mean, those were great days, and you know, and speaking of that, that's another human nature thing. Maybe it's because I've judged more in Europe, where it's not a big deal, but I have no problem putting class dogs up if they're the best ones. No problem. And I know that other judges struggle with that, and maybe I should do less of it and they should do more of it. I don't know, but it's a thing.
It is. And it was funny though, because back when I was showing dogs more and we had more dog shows, we'd get European judges come over and our steward would have to explain to them that the champions were not just there for exhibition only.
Right.
Because they'd go right to the class dogs, and also would say, like, even in breeds that the class dog couldn't possibly defeat the champion.
Right.
And someone asked them, I said, "Well, we don't have a champions class. I thought they're exhibition only." So we had to. There were a couple of cases where we had to explain that to people, and they wished they could go back and take it back. Sometimes they obviously can't. Yeah.
Those pivotal moments. It was Hilda Parkinson from the just incredible Davium Pointer Kennels in England. Just a force for so many years. She was judging here. It was a pointer supported entry, and it was an enormous entry. And there were quite a few big winning specials there. I had a class bitch I just started. It was her first show. And she gave me the breed over all the specials. And she handed me the ribbon. She said, "She's what you would call a special. She just doesn't have her official crown yet." And when she's, you know, and we talked later, and she said, I said, "What do you mean by that?" And she said, "Well, you know, if she was in that class, she fit in perfectly. I wouldn't have known that she," and I had to get that. She'd judged her before. I had to get that in my head that it doesn't matter that she doesn't quite have the number of points. She just hasn't been shown enough yet. That's right. All. And she certainly belongs in that lineup. And I try to do that. You know, I try to think, okay, if this was a special, you have to think that through, because we have these classes and, right or wrong, it's the way it goes. You know what I do like? I don't want to know which one's the Ambred and which one's the Bred By. I don't want to know that. When it comes in for winners, I try to not even think back to the book or the order or who wasn't here or was. I just want to know which one's the best one, because you don't want to think, "Oh, it's an American Bred dog. What's it doing in there?"
Yeah. One time I was showing a class dog poodle, and Allison was showing the special. And the special was like number one dog in the country at the time. And it was Maxine doing the breed. And I could tell that she liked my puppy dog. Yeah. And she's looking at it, and she's looking at it. I said, "Please don't." "Don't." But she did. She gave me the ride and took the puppy on to group one.
Oh, wow.
And she'd done for the special. She knew but she really liked this puppy. She just knew it was going to argue with Max, right?
That's right. Good for her.
Please
Good
don't. For her. I have to go home.
You know, speaking of, just mentioned the American Bred class in passing. What's that for?
Dogs that are bred in America.
But isn't that 99% of them?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We used to have a Canadian Bred class up here. We used to hand out Canadian Bred and Breed up here.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, at the Garden, there used to be Best American Bred in show. Yeah. That was the thing. Because America. There were so many imports in the early days of Westminster, so many dogs from England came over or were imported here for those purposes. So they had a separate award for Best American Bred. Well, I don't know. As a kid, I remember my dad saying, "Well, it's not quite ready for open, and it's not something I want to show him Bred By, so just put him in
American Bred." Yeah, and then we did that a lot when we did poodle specialties and whatnot, because we had
some of them. Yeah. Yeah, it's something we just...
You thought you were competitive and big enough hair to compete with the open class, you know.
Yeah, we take it for granted. I don't think we even think about that designation anymore. But maybe it's something that should be revisited.
Well, maybe.
I don't think anybody's, you know, not qualified for that class that
Well, that's why it's called the open class. You know, we're talking about the American Red Class. The open class is open to anybody, though, right?
Right, right. That at least means makes sense.
Yeah,
but but in some breeds, and I might throw beagles out there. There's going to be plenty of times that you already know if it hasn't finished yet. You know, if it hasn't in beagles, if it hasn't finished in the puppy class yet or bred by class yet, you're not going to find your one. Open the walks in, you're like, yep, this is what I thought. These are the ones that couldn't finish. And you go, you know, and that's terrible to say, but you go yeah. through those times. And in some breeds, puppies look so damn good. And beagles is one of them.
But you know what I ran into a lot when I was a younger handler and just venturing down into your country to show the dogs I exhibited up here. And they
now, did you have back then, did you have the, did you use the actual sled?
Yeah,
and the Malamutes to pull the your string down yeah. here.
And I had to now, blaze a trail through Canada before I got right. to your border. Right.
Now, did you have your igloo? Did you have runs off the igloo where you lived? Or?
No, we just staked them in the ice. Just staked them in the ice. But I'd come down as a youngster, and I'd have these dogs that were, you know, in full coat, and I have to start off in the open dog class.
Oh, yeah.
And there were times where a judge would say, "What is this dog doing in the open dog class?" And yeah. I'd have to explain to him that, you know, it's his first time in America, you know. That naturally goes through their head. What is this finished product? Mm-hmm. Still, there's got to be something wrong with him. He's still in this class, you know.
Right. And I would contend that if you know what you're doing, it's your job to figure out.
Right, exactly. What's wrong that's with what him. I would say to him as an 18-year-old sure. boy. No, I wouldn't.
Listen, mister, I came down here, my sled.
Your job.
You need to put some more snow on the street so I can get here quicker. That's what you need to do. Never mind my hair. But it's, you know, you have to, as a judge, you just have to say, I don't care what class this is.
Right.
And that's the frame of mind I try to, the beagles doesn't matter, whatever breed it is. I go in there thinking, okay, who's the best dog in this class? I don't care.
How do I say it? I always, when I was showing dogs, I could always tell which judges were stuck on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
You know, and those I wasn't looking forward to those judges.
That's right.
You know, because no matter how good your exhibit was, they were on the Discovery Channel and they were going to find something that they thought was better than your dog. So you can look at every class, but remember that Discovery Channel, don't be stuck on it. Have the remote control right there on your side of your Chesterfield. Oh, it's a couch. It's a couch down there, not a Chesterfield.
That is a good point. That is a good point indeed. But and then, you know, when you get into the groups, those are the same judges that decide, okay, I know these are all big winners and they're really good dogs, but what else can I find in here?
Yeah, exactly.
So I can tell my friends. Yeah. I do like discovering new good ones if they're the best ones. I love it. But that's certainly not the goal.
I can tell this story now because everybody's gone. Except, well, not Mark. Mark called me one time. He had Robert out and he was a Canadian judge coming up on the panel. And the judge isn't around anymore, so I can say it. I said, that's going to be a big group down there, and there's going to be some oddball breeds in there. I said, if you get a fourth, consider yourself lucky. Well, he called me, and he got a fourth. Maybe it wasn't Robert, but it was some dog he was showing, and it was end up fourth. I said, well, told you.
There are those judges. Now, with that, I'm glad you brought that up. There are those judges, and they're rare. But they're going to put up the rare breeds no matter what, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think we're terrible at spending the time to recognize quality in those rare breeds and doing this. And you should do the same amount of work, maybe even more research and work learning that breed. So you can give those dogs a group when they deserve it. And not just think, well, you know, because it's a Barbet or because if it's a whatever, maybe it should go second today. No, it's the best one, it should win. Especially the Barbet, damn it, because I got a cool hat from that club and I love them for it.
I'm not going to say which breed this was, but I was Mrs. Forsyth. She's on the phone jabbering to somebody. And then she turns to me and says, and she hands the phone to me. It was a cell phone. She said, "Could you tell so-and-so that the best so-and-so in the world goes fourth?" I left the breed and the handlers out. But that's what, I'm like, oh. The best one in the world goes fourth.
Gosh. Mr. Everyday.
But I remember when I was a kid, though, in the sporting group, Irish Setter, Golden Retriever. Irish Setter, Golden Retriever. Those were the only.
Oh, absolutely.
And English Setter, like this. But it was more English Setter. There was the Irish and English more than the Gordon.
Yeah.
Irish, English, Golden Retriever.
Right. Those dogs. Well, we had in the north, in the northeast, you know, the Mid-Atlantic corridor, New England and that area, where I spent most of my time, vast amount of my time growing up. Janie would win with an Irish Setter. Or maybe Bill Trainer would win with a Golden, or they would be first or second.
Yeah.
Teddy Young would be right there with a Cocker. Those are the three, those three placements were taken. They were taken. That was going to be Janie, Bill Trainer, and Ted Young, who happened to have the really good clients who knew to let you find a dog for them. And then those three handlers did know how to and where to pick the right ones. They always did have great dogs. I'm not saying they should have been first, second, and third. I'm just saying they often deserved exactly what they got every weekend.
But there are glamorous breeds, like so many for so many years back in the day, Afghans completely dominated the hound.
Yeah.
At least up here and in Canada, the Irish Setter breed was quite competitive, and whoever won that breed ended up usually winning the group. It was always that way, not always, but predominantly.
And, you know, timing is important, too. When Janie had Holly Hills Desert Wind, the big hairy Afghan that did so much winning back in the day, my dad had his Beagle. So he would go second to that Afghan all the time. And then once he beat Wendy, he won the group, and the Afghan was second under Alva. And it wasn't but a couple of days later that Forsyth said, "Hey, Ray, we'd like to buy the Beagle. We don't need this to happen twice." But you happen, you know, and in England, how to try to finish a dog in England? You might have, say you're you have Mick, right? The great Kerry Blue. You got to beat him three times that year, in your life. If you're showing a Kerry against him, you've got to beat him three times to get three CCs to be a champion. I don't think anybody becomes a champion the couple years that Mick's out.
Oh, exactly. You
know, there are not enough shows to run from them over there either. But, you know, it does happen. But it matters to finish dogs there and or make them up, as they say.
Yes.
But some of the champions here, I think we make up. But anyway.
Remember, Wayne Kavanaugh. Not Dog Trip Tips and Gmail.
Dog Trip Tips. Hey, did you ever find out if we have our own? I think there is a Dog Trip Drive email. Right.
I did. I think we have our own now. I think Ernie needs
to. Should we call Ernie?
No.
Is Ernie available? Should we find out?
Is Ernie available? I don't know.
Yeah.
Should I call him and see?
Yeah. Ernie is our Ed McMahon. He's our Doc Severinsen. He's the man behind the scenes.
He makes this all. He makes the magic happen.
He does. And one thing about on the podcast, he makes us look so good. I mean, what he does with makeup and shading, we just look so good in this podcast. If you look into your radio dial real close, you can see how good Will and I look right now. It's extraordinary. Yeah, when you see filters. Us in person, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed when you see us in person after you see us in the radio dial.
Let's try it.
One ringy dingy.
You can hear that good. Okay.
Yeah. Two ringy dingy. Was that Lily Tomlin?
You've reached Dr. Ernie.
Picking up.
Please leave a name and number. Yeah. I'll return your call.
I think I told him what time we were doing the podcast, too. So he's
not
picking up.
He thinks we're sick. And we're, he thinks we're patient and need help, and he doesn't want to help us. So we are patients. We do need your help, Ernie. We forget our email address. We think it is thedogshowdrive@gmail.com. Dog show.
I'm pretty sure it is the dog
show. But you can always email Will because he loves reading that stuff. And that is something like Will's the greatest in the world.com. What's your
that's the one my mother has for me.
Mine too. No, it's Will's dog show tips or something.
It's just dogshowtips@gmail.com. That's dogshowtips@gmail.com.
That's right, Don Pardo.
But wait, that's not all.
Send us two comments and you get a bottle of
Alexander's Original Self.
That's exactly what you get.
Used by champions.
That's what exactly what you get. And if you, and like I said a couple weeks ago, if you don't use that shampoo and you don't win like Will, that's your fault. That's just on you. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I mean, you
want all I can do for you.
It's all we can do here between two countries. But what's going on with between two countries, by the way?
That would be a good segment for on our show, Between Two Countries.
That's right. What is the story? By the way, I say that's right. I listen to a podcast. I must say that's right when you speak about 1,000 times in a podcast. And you're not always right, Will. So sometimes I'm just going to start saying that's wrong.
That's right, Wayne.
That's average.
So what do you mean what's going on between the two countries?
You still can't come down here? Well, you can because you're special.
I'm essential. I transport dogs, so I can transport across the border. But no, our borders are still closed. Canadians can come across, but they have to quarantine when they get home. Mm-hmm. And I think they have to do 3 COVID tests or something like that. I think a good friend of mine, Joanne Pavey, just judged at the Sheltie National, and I've been following her protocol. And she's at home now, but she's self-quarantining. But she said it was well worth it. She said she had some beautiful dogs there.
So oh, sure.
Yeah. She enjoyed herself.
And a lot of us don't get out of our pajamas anyway. We just stay
home. I'm not wearing pants.
We just look at old pictures of old dogs we won with and went, yeah, we were great. Well, why don't we call each other and say, remember that time we won the, you know, yeah, that's what we do. We have no lives. I've never been busier than I am now.
Oh, me too. Retirement. It's crazy how busy I am. It's fun. You know, what else would I be doing, you know, besides, you know, sitting down and watching more hockey?
Mm-hmm. Then there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
And what you can't see, ladies and gentlemen, what you can't see, because I sometimes rib Will Alexander about the Toronto Maple Leafs, Toronto Maple Leafs team. I do tease him about that sometimes. Today, and he can vouch for this, I'm wearing my really cool Toronto Maple Leafs quarter zip because I do love the Leafs.
And it's so cool. I asked him where he got it.
I do love the Leafs. There's no doubt about it. If there's any other team I like besides the Blackhawks. And that's because we have a Beagle affiliation. That's the only reason. You're a Blackhawk fan, right, Will?
Oh, yeah. You have to be. Especially when they come to town, I send Rocky a message and say, I want to see the Blackhawks.
That's right, Dan. We get to see the Blackhawks.
Rocky Wirtz has, what does he have? One Miss P child?
He has one Miss P child and one other child that's related. He has a son of Miss P's.
And the last picture I saw of him, he was very handsome. Yeah.
He is beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, and sadly enough, he has a brown front leg on the show side.
And that's why we chose not to show him.
That's the only reason he got to Rocky. And it's stupid, right? But it's true. You can't win with one.
Not
you can't win at any great level.
Consistently, no. You know.
And there's nothing wrong with that marking, but you're never going to win. It's like ridiculous.
A springer with a white shawl. You know, you want that white shawl and the springer. And if you don't have it, you know, there are dogs that have one without it, but consistently nowadays that breed is so tough.
You want one of the white show. I care not one bit about
it. I didn't say open mark, I did. I didn't say I was talking in general. Of course, you, Mr. Kavanaugh, is not going to be green for all you.
That's right. They could be green, of the green of Ireland. But I love freckles. I love speckles. I love ticking. And I like patches, odd patches. Although it doesn't bother me one bit. It reminds me of the old sod. That's what it does, Will. It reminds me of the old sod.
There you go. Take no people out there with your
that's right.
Your old sod springers. I'm just kidding.
Bring me your badly marked. Bring me your ticked. and you can bring me the Blue Beagles, too. That's okay.
Oh, they're becoming popular now.
Aren't they a thing?
But aren't they we were thing? In Ireland, and we looked at that. I'm sure it was a Springer dog that we looked at over there. Mm-hmm. And he was a hell of a dog.
Oh, he sure was.
He was a hell of a dog. He was, like, he had a gesture. I guess the type's different, but he was a hell of a dog.
And he's as good as I've seen. Yeah. And that guy is from Northern Ireland, not Ireland, is a really good guy. And he, you got that, Will, right? I'm sorry. Anyway, he's just the nicest guy you ever want to meet.
My dad's from Northern Ireland.
That's right. And his accent from being from Northern Ireland, his accent was really difficult for me to understand. And when I asked people from Ireland, they said, oh, we haven't understood a word he said. We haven't understood a word he said in 10 years. But he's so charming and so nice. But he brought the best springers every year for those shows in Ireland. And that's a dog that he would never part with one. He just wouldn't happen with him. But I always wondered if you got that dog here and gave it your silly haircuts and taught it how to free bait and run 20 feet in front of you, whatever that takes. I wonder how that would have went down. I wonder how that went. You know, I don't know. You never know. We'll never know, will we, Will?
No, we won't know.
We never will.
And I'm not doing it now.
No. Paid our dues, did our thing. Cheryl and I were talking about, you know, we'd like to do more travel, not to go to a dog show, to places where they don't have dogs at all, where dogs are illegal. We'd like to go to places where dogs are illegal for a couple of days once in a while. And when that, right now we've got some circumstances that don't allow us to do that kind of travel. But when that time comes, you know, the wolfhound, the beagles will be getting older. And if we outlive them, what are we going to get next? And we go back and forth. We loved our English Toy Spaniels. We just loved them.
Oh, I love that breed, Jabal.
Oh, man. Clifford was one of the best I ever had. I love that dog. But I'm thinking stuffed with wheels. You know, like the little, the ones that you can pull and their little tongue go, meh, 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 and they make little noises once in a while. I think that's going to do it for a while. It'll never happen. I'll always have to have a dog.
I have a Brussels Griffon here right now, and I'm telling you, she's winning my heart over. She's something else.
You know, when I worked at that other place, we had an employee who had a really nice Brussels Griffon. I hope she's still alive. I think she might be. And that handler was the one and only Tony Vaca.
Ah, yes.
Who, by the way, one of the best sporting dog trimmers, unheralded, underestimated sporting dog trimmers in the country. He can really trim a dog. Yeah. Anyway, Tony had this little Brussels Griffon that he and Courtney got from Susie DePue. And this little bugger was so smart in the winter here in Michigan, where we also live in igloos that we buy from Will in Canada at the... at the headquarters, right outside of Okeechobee, Papa Gooby. Where is the national headquarters, Will?
Cobequenque, Ontario.
Cobequenque, Ontario. He has his own igloo factory in the back where he mixes his shampoo to keep that right temperature. Anyway, I have no idea what I was talking about.
You're talking about Tony's Griff.
yeah, Tony's Griff. In igloos, it all goes together.
Because you were saying how it survived the winter.
That's right. the dog would come in. I'll think of her name soon.
I doubt it.
Yeah, me too. I thought it should be Snickers, but it wasn't. It was something else. Whatever. She'd come in. Now it's going to bother me. Gizmo or one of those kind of. Anyway, she'd come in, and there was a wall heater in the office where Tony was. She would run in and say hello to everybody who had a cookie, and then she'd stand sideways in front of that heater for about a minute. Then she would turn the other way and warm her other side like an English muffin. You know, she'd get both sides warm. She was so smart, that dog. I love that little dog. Some of those toy breeds are the ones that, you know, us sporting hound guys, who we think we're real dog guys. You get a toy dog to live with and you realize those things are smart and fun. And I just love them. I love
We had a Papillon's house dog one time. He was incredible. We showed a lot of Cavaliers, and they're an incredible breed to have around.
I love Papillons, and they can do everything.
Yeah.
You find Papillons with titles that go on for a year and a half.
Yeah. Well, mine used to poop in the bed.
Well, that's not good. We can't have that. We can't have that. No. No, no, that's it. Yeah. No more Papillon.
Well, and they're perfect from the bed. Really loved them.
Yeah, you must have really liked. But our English Toy Spaniel was, I mean, that thing was just, he was so smart. Clifford was so smart. Do you remember Clifford?
No, I don't.
It was a long time ago. He was just, he was just a great little dog and so smart. And by the way, he was Monorchid. So what did we do? We neutered him so we could get that one down. So that's what you did, right? And you can't breed to a Monorchid, heaven forbid. Well, guess what? Clifford lived to be 14. He didn't even have as much as a slip patella. He was the healthiest dog I ever had in my life. An English toy spaniel, the healthiest dog I ever had in my life. We should have bred to a Mon Orchid or not. And I know I'll get criticism about that, but you've had a breed with a small gene pool. If you can get one that healthy, I don't care if he's got one. I would, in certain circumstances, not as a rule,
yeah,
I would at least give him one or two tries. Because to perpetuate those traits,
well, he might need two tries. He only has one. For
that's right. And he was also gorgeous. He was beautiful. So if I could perpetuate those qualities and take that chance, I might do it. Because the good news is you can always sell them back to England because they don't care.
Yeah, or Australia. Isn't Australia the same way?
Yeah, most places that know what they're talking about with breeding. Over
at
here,
Wayne Cavanaugh.
Wayne Cavanaugh at willsshampoo.com. I got a really nice call today from a woman who I know quite well. I haven't seen her in 30 years, but we go back a long way. And she was talking about the interviews that I was doing, and I need to do them again on the breed interviews where you and I and Eddie did one on Beagles. Yeah, on point. We got to do more of those. But she had some great comments on that. And then she said, and by the way, I love your podcast. So besides our mothers, Will, and Dan Buchwald and Donald Sears, we know because they called in to give us good, very good tips. There's probably another woman now. So there's five people now that are listening.
Oh, I get comments all the time, especially when you make hockey comments against Miami Police. I get messages saying, oh, we love the way he did that to you. You know?
Well, you shouldn't have encouraged me because there's a long season ahead of us. Well, a long season. Oh, my.
Well, there's a following hockey out there, you know.
We can't
not sure we have a bike gang yet, but we have our baseball.
That's right.
We have a following.
Well, at the assisted living where my mother resides in her gorgeous, beautiful apartment, this amazing place. I'm wondering if maybe they would have us just come in and do a podcast live there. They can sleep through anything. So they'd be dead. And then at the end, they always clap. I go to the musical recitals and because I love going there. And there's so much. These people are so fun and with it. But they're old and they get tired.
Yeah.
So they'd be dancing and singing. And all of a sudden, they're all out. But when it's over and the singer says thank you, they all clap and they all wake up the whole time. Yeah. I think we should all do more of that. Napping at dog shows. Not like Belter back at the setup. You know? But I mean, when you're watching the actual dog show, he's just, you know, he goes back there because he's dog and God bless him. We didn't mention him last week, so we have to mention him this week.
Yeah, he likes to nap. There's actually a montage of photos of him out there.
There is
a lot of him sleeping at ring in his setup. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should just never wake him up. Maybe he missed the whole show.
I get it. I remember staying with that bugger once, and the alarm will go off. We're at the same hotel. The alarm will go off, and I'm telling you, he wakes up dressed. He's like, boom. I'm like, go back to bed. Let's go.
Well, we have neighbors now. We haven't had neighbors in 20 years. When we sold the, I don't know, the Ponderosa and moved. And
so my room is gone.
Your house is gone. Your guest house is gone.
Yeah. I love the cabin,
your bar,
pub,
your pool table, your whole your own pub.
And yeah, we're playing the drums at like midnight.
God, it was fun. That house was that estate was just so much fun. We loved living there.
Yeah,
but there's a time you can't just take care of it anymore. So anyway, we have neighbors now. So when we wake up in the morning, we jump out of bed dressed, take the dogs out because when they need to go, they need to go, and we have to walk them now. So, but our outfits, when we get dressed, unlike Mr. Belter, we wear pajama bottoms, Maple Leafs t-shirts, and winter caps that pull over your ears, and wellies. And we decided that they've got to learn that that's how we go out in the morning.
Yeah.
So we walk our dogs like that every day.
Don't stare at our poor neighbors. Look at them. Don't.
That's right. But we've started a new trend because our other neighbors now, they don't care. They walk out in whatever to walk their dogs too. Everyone's got a dog here. In fact, across the street, Will, you may remember this. I asked you if you knew this woman who had standard poodles in Michigan, and you used to show for her.
Oh, gee, what was her name now?
Well, and you love the temperaments on our dogs. You showed one at the Invitational AKC show.
Barbara. Oh, I can't.
Anyway.
Isn't that awful?
She said, great dogs with great temperaments.
Yeah.
And our neighbor was looking for a standard poodle. And, of course, you know, you have to catch him quick and say, you know, you might not want to meet that lady in the McDonald's parking lot. Here's a name. But she found this woman, and I called you, and you said, and boy, is she a great temperament. This is a super poodle. And she's beautiful, too, easy to look at. But so we have now two Brittany's that were shown. We have a standard poodle who certainly could be. We've got our crew, and we have a very cute, adorable, smart golden doodle that doesn't look much like a golden doodle, but she's adorable. She has straight hair, and she's little. She looks more like a silken windhound.
Oh, I love that breed, actually.
I do, too. But we have quite an assemblage of dogs here. Got a lab that's a very good eater, really good eater, that waddles around once in a while. But we have a pretty good crew of dogs, and it's how you meet people. I didn't realize that neighbors actually talk to each other and stuff. But if you have a dog, you meet your neighbors, and it's nice. Except when they know you know a little bit about dogs.
You become the dog guy.
I become the dog. Yeah. I had a 10 o'clock call. Dog got bit at the dog park. Shocker. So I had to go over there with my Neosporin and Q-tips and packing and do my thing. It's good, though. It's how you meet people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, I'm the dog guy in my family. I get all the questions from my family. Oh, Lask Will. He's the dog guy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like you're a vet, too, supposedly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why we have Dr. Ernie, because he knows all the doctors. They're all the same, chiropractors, physicians. That they can. If you're a doctor, if you have a doctorate in medicine of any kind, we have that in our family. They ask you all kinds of questions. Well, you might want to see a heart guy if it's your heart, not me.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to start to put these towards the end of the show. Oh, we did have another passing, Will.
Yes, we did. Up here in Canada, we lost an icon in our sport up here, Mr. Jack Ireland. He passed away last week. He was Jack was, I believe, he was in his 90s. Longtime boxer breeder, and all breed judge, gentleman, dapper. He had it all, Jack. He was.
He did. Yeah.
Carried himself and he always did a great job judging dogs. He carried himself very professionally. I remember one time I was showing an Irish sitter, and he was very fond of this dog, and he'd given him a lot of best in shows, and he gives me best in show, and he says to me, "No more." I said, "What do you mean, no more?" He said, "No more. This is enough." I said, "But next week's already closed." And he gave him best in show again. Well, that was it.
That's it. That's enough.
No more.
That's funny. He had a great presence. I didn't know him, but I remember seeing him in the ring, and he had a great presence.
And a great sense of humor. Don't get on his bad side. Like if someone came up and questioned something he did, he was not.
Well, his name was Ireland, Will. It was Ireland for sure.
Yeah.
We do have our grudges. Yeah.
Well. But we never had a problem. Him and I enjoyed him so much. And he and Mike and Sandy Jelena, they were had a couple kennel clubs together. So I got to see everybody at once. And he was always so much fun. And he was receiving everybody. He was almost like dog show royalty, especially for the London area. He's going to be really missed. We all love Jack. So.
Yeah. And he had a good long life, too.
Yeah.
That's all you can hope for, right? But he certainly had respect in the sport.
There's no question. Yeah. He had bred some beautiful boxers over the years. And he was one of those guys that he found one in his breed he liked. He'd carry it to the top. He'd have a hard time beating a good boxer under Jack. You know, he appreciated a good boxer. And
we're in a pretty good boxer heyday now. I'm not saying they're all great, but we've continued the last bunch of years to have some pretty good ones in the working group all the time. It's a breed you can, and they're not all the same by any stretch, but we do have some, going to ABC and watching those specials classes there, or the open dog classes, or any dog
handlers. They're all just so in tune with their dogs now. So much fun to watch them.
You know, speaking of that, and he's not here much, so I don't mind saying good things about him, but Alberto Ferrari?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a video today of him with a beagle. And the dog is with him off lead walking on the beach. And
probably had hot dogs in his pocket.
No. The dog was just, they were walking on a sandy trail. He could have, but the dog wasn't looking at him. He was just hanging out.
Yeah, Alberto.
And actually, Banjo's father was always an off-leash dog, too.
I like him on off-leash. I just have to go catch them. That's
you never see him again. Yeah. At the pound. You find my beagle. But Alberto has this, he just has a, and we did mention this a couple weeks ago about dog lovers that are handlers and how much more they get out of them. But when you see how this dog shows for Alberto and you see that respect they have for each other and that bond, it means a lot.
No question.
Having those, and you were one of those guys who always had a good bond with your dogs. Even Banjo liked
it. I kept hot dogs in my pocket. So.
Well, it's always a good thing to have. You know. The Wolfhound goes crazy for cheese, anything to do with cheese. And we do have a wonderful cheese shop here in the village now. And it's tough to get past if you're walking the wolf. Wait. Cheese.
Yeah, let's face it, with the beagles, it doesn't have to be hot dogs. It could be no. Could be chicken a picture bones. Of a hot dog.
That's true. Heaven forbid. We have a beautiful mud room in this house that we built with all these fancy coat hooks. You can walk in this own little, you know, ship lap room with your, you can't put your coats in there because of the beagles. Because if you have any kind of food in your pocket, that coat is toast.
Yeah. And my only little setter bitch, she would find your sports jacket, your suit jacket, mm-hmm. and she would tear out the inside. She always went the inside of it. So she never,
yes.
So you can get it patched and still wear it. But I always said she was from a long line of pocket eaters.
It's true. Yeah. You know, did you ever know certain breeds, and I think it's certain bloodlines, Clumber Spaniels can almost always hold three or more tennis balls.
Yeah.
Every one of them. They think, oh, look at this. How unique this dog can hold three tennis. No, they all do it. They just love doing that. I don't know why. And the other one is there's be certain lines of dogs that, I don't want to say it because I'll get calls. Never mind. They have habits, but I don't really feel like hearing it. So, so we covered Westminster. We talked about Danny's call, which is a great one too, and Donald's. And I wanted to get through all that, and I also wanted to remind everyone about the jingle.
The jingle, yes.
We may have to just not have one, Will. No one loves us.
But we worked hard on that jingle.
I know. We sang it with gusto. We sang it with gusto, Will. That's what we did.
Exactly.
We sang it with gusto.
Yeah, I don't want somebody 20 years from now digging it up and making it a big mm-hmm. hit.
That's right. All of a sudden, they'll be dancing to it at weddings and everything. Right? Load up the van, load up the bus, turn on your radio and listen to us. Yeah, I can just see it. Exactly. It's kind of like the Macarena or any of those.
You've got to get it out there, else, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to be so if, you know, as the, we wrote that song first.
That's right. We you know, they don't love us, Will. They don't respect us. They won't go learn GarageBand for us.
Or at least put a band together for us, you know.
Yeah, Ernie actually asked me, do I know GarageBand? I was in one. I was in probably three or four of them. And we were as bad as my learning ability when it comes to GarageBand, which is why I'm not even going to try.
I know. He'll still push us, though. He'll push me all the time. Well, Ernie, I can't do that. That's your job, man.
You're missing this jingle. You all are missing this jingle. It's your loss because Will can sing like a bird. I'm not saying what kind of bird. It's a pelican. Is that a bird? Could be an emu. That's not. Is that a bird? I don't know. Anyway, we don't want to get that albatross around our shoulders or in our neck or whatever it is. All right, Will, what else you got?
I think we've actually reached our race is run for this week.
You know, we always say we're going to time it, and I don't think we ever have.
No, we just do it, you know.
We just kind of think it's time to shut up is what it is. Anyway, as always, young William, it has been my honor and pleasure.
Yeah. Party on, Wayne.
Toronto Maple Leafs shirt. It's been an honor with you too. To wear this shirt has been an honor and a pleasure.
Now, there you go. There you go. Well, be safe, everybody out there. And I hope we didn't bore you too much. You enjoyed your time with us, but we'll do our best. And Wayne always brings his best.
There you go. I try. See you next week, everybody.
All right. Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. Is it Garth?
It's Garth, yeah.
Yeah, it's Garth now. Bye.
Wayne!
Garth?
Party on, Garth.
Party on.